We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Speaking of a full hour of sports, that's what you're going to get today. Starting at 4:30, Peter King is going to join us for a huge weekly football conversation. Obviously, the 49ers trading for Emmanuel Sanders today is big news. Peter King at 4:30, and then Steve Kerr, live at 5, will be asking him all about Klay Thompson. You know, it's the right long-term move, because if you think about it, right? So let's say this year isn't what you want it to be. Let's say Curry rolls an ankle at one point. He misses 15 games. You go 2-13 in that 15-game stretch. It's just not the young guys didn't quite come together, and it just didn't happen. And you know what? The talent in this West is thick and deep, and they won 47 games and still didn't go to the playoffs. They won 48 games. They won 51 games and still didn't go to the playoffs. Like, all of that is out there for them this year. So instead of bringing Klay back for a 20, 30, 18, 15 game, whatever it is, the run that he would come back for, if you're telling me right now that just scrapping it totally buys me 9 more months, how do you say no to that? How do you say no to that? I mean,
something I thought about today, does it? Because I don't think they can stop him from playing in the Olympics.
Okay, but maybe that would be the perfect little
ease back in.
Yeah. I mean, I actually love the Olympics for Klay as a little bit of a test run leading up into the real everyday rigmarole and grind that is the coming NBA season. I kind of like it even more. But seriously, you're telling me outside of maybe a 16-day tournament in the Olympics, in which case they're not going to be leaning on him 33 minutes a night?
No.
You're telling me that I get February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and October to keep on keeping on the rehab? They're a really good team opening up a brand new billion-dollar building. The urgency to win now is always going to be hanging over you under those scenarios. But the smart long-term play is to punt. This sounds terrible. To punt on the year. I mean, if you're a playoff team without him, great. That's super duper.
It's kind of, the good news is you don't have to decide yet.
Right. Let's get into it and we'll find out.
I mean, that's the thing. And that actually, if there's anything positive about hearing Klay might be out the whole year, it's that they're not even going to start making that decision till the All-Star break. In other words, you're going to play probably 50, 55 games before they even update us on Klay's status for down the stretch. And honestly, I think that's ideal, because we may find out, you know, 10 games, it may look like they're crap. And after 50, they may look like a playoff team without Klay. And quite honestly, if they're a playoff team without Klay, I don't see how they're not a championship contender with Klay. So if that's the case, I'm saying whenever you're healthy, come on back. Even if it's the final game of the regular season, come on in here and let's do this. If they're a 500 team without Klay, then maybe even if he's ready April 1st, 8 games left, we don't really need you. Sit another couple weeks and, you know, go play in the Olympics and get ready for next year.
I'm not so sure that the Olympics are a great idea for him, but I don't know. And I think the fact that the Warriors don't really have a vote here is good.
Yeah.
Because if Klay Thompson isn't scrambling to get back by March 1st, despite all the indications that he shouldn't, then it means he's a good enough patient that he takes care of his medical stuff and knows people who will help him take care of his medical stuff. I think it's sort of, again, it's us trying to figure out what's going to happen in April. when we haven't even finished October yet. I think his health is going to tell us rather than us projecting what his health should tell him. Because I think that's the insane part. He's incredibly important to them. Without him, yeah, the season might be a total loss leader. But then sometimes you just have to eat those. Too bad. You lost a likely Hall of Famer and a potential fringe Hall of Famer. Yeah, well, I don't know that Thompson's going to be a Hall of Famer, which is why I'm surprised at your look. I know Clay theism, yada-da-da-da.
The standard for the Basketball Hall of Fame in your mind is much greater than the actual standard for the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, I think the standard is higher because there are more people that get into it.
It's easiest to get into.
It's absolutely not the easiest to get into. That's simply false.
Okay. What is?
Well, the hockey is.
All right, well, that doesn't even count. No one even goes to that. We're talking sports people care about, right?
No, we're talking about sports
Top three, I think it's probably the easiest to get into.
It's not, because you're talking about college coaches, you're talking about college-only players, you're talking about foreign players, you're talking about women.
There's
crowded
12
field.
Venezuelan coaches you've never heard of
it
in their
Hall of Fame.
It doesn't
matter. They're in, and they take spots that don't go to pros. So it's not that easy to get in, and now we're distracted again. The point is, April will take care of itself. October is, Klay Thompson is now an afterthought until, at best, April Fool's Day. The Warriors have just told you that.
Is this all a trick? April Fool's Day?
Oh, I see what you did there.
No, he's reading, which is never a good thing for him.
Vlade Divac is going in as a player. I just was looking up who's going in this year.
He's not going in as just an NBA player.
I know.
Though. Well, that matters.
Okay.
Klay Thompson didn't play overseas. Paul Westfall was a hell of a player. And he was a hell of a college player, too.
He was a
more impactful college player than Klay Thompson was.
Okay. I'm just saying it's not that high.
It's a lot harder to get in than you know.
Okay.
Michael Jordan doesn't even have Steph Curry in yet, for goodness sakes. Which is, by the way, where the segment started about 28 minutes ago.
So it ends up as stupid as it began.
Yeah, he's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
By the way, can we put that guy in the fake TV laugh Hall of Fame? Who the hell is the Jordan giggler? Who is the Jordan? No, this is somebody from NBC's Today Show.
Oh.
Listen to this guy. He's like straight up. It's like you handed him a script. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, he's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though.
Sounds like the press conference room when Jim Harbaugh used to make a joke.
My much-worshipped wife watches the Today Show, so I am sometimes inflicted with it. And they do laugh on command.
Was that Al Roker?
I don't think so. I don't think Al Roker would be. That's not an Al Roker interview. They would give it to one of the true hosts.
It was Ray Melvin.
Okay.
Greg Melvin. Sorry, I was just told that in my ear by Nash.
Craig with the C.
Craig. Oh, sorry.
Honestly, who cares?
Well, no, it's a fact, and a fact should be disseminated.
Mitch Richmond in the Hall of Fame. You don't got Clay in, though?
I said it's not going to be easy. That's it.
All right.
I don't want to keep. Okay. Look, I'm sorry that I accidentally spat on the base of your idol statue.
You did.
Three NBA championships, two considerable NBA records.
In fact, I would forbid him from going to the Hall of Fame just to disappoint you.
What's Steve Kerr have to say about Michael Jordan saying Curry ain't good yet?
I think Michael has his own version of the Hall of Fame. It's in his own head. So whatever that is, that's what it is.
Michael Jordan's version of the Hall of Fame is guys who played with him. Because he is like every other great player in every sport, which is my time was best. That said, at no point did he imply, or indicate that Stephen Curry wasn't not only an obvious Hall of Famer, but an obvious choice by acclamation. The laugh told you that. If he wanted to try to make a point, there wouldn't have been any laughter.
No.
So, this is a complete non-starter. that we have decided to start anyway.
888-957-9570. Two pillars on which to build in and turn a franchise around. That's how the Giants did it. That's kind of how the Warriors are doing it. And it's what the Niners hope to have with Bosa and Kittle. We're coming back with that in just a moment here. And we want to remind you, a commercial-free hour of radio and a little bit more than an hour from now to 4:30 to 5:30. We've got you with back-to-back interviews with the best in the business. Peter King all over the NFL at 4:30. Steve Kerr today at 5 o'clock. We're looking forward to that. Chance to win $1,000. 8K per day cash contest going on right now. Text the code word WATER to 72881. W-A-T-E-R. Text the code word WATER to 72881. Message and data rates apply. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7, The Game.
I'm not going to say that I was upset the NBA season wasn't here, but I just saw Stephen A. Smith standing on a court on ESPN doing like a stand-up from, I don't know, he's in Toronto tonight, in LA tonight, wherever he is, and I almost got a little nostalgic. Like, oh, good to see an NBA court on ESPN again. It's back!
Yeah.
The NBA is back tonight. The World Series comes back on our radar tonight with Game 1. Nationals and Astros. Osuna. I told you it was a good idea. Oh, my God. What a story that we'll have to get into a little bit later on there. Better to not say anything and have people think you a fool than to just go ahead and start screaming and have everyone realize that you're not good at this. I don't even want to get into this story. It's so undesirable, but it's hijacking the World Series. The Houston Astros have had to issue a statement because their assistant GM was basically flexing on the fact that Osuna, who had given up a home run in the game, which he was flexing on the guy, it wasn't until Jose Altuve did this that they were celebrating or dancing in the aisles in Astro Land.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series!
That happened after Osuna had given up a home run. But their assistant general manager, in front of a group of female reporters, was basically screaming about how great it was to have this guy. And this is a clear, screw you, ladies, we added a guy who punches women and we feel good about it moment. Not a supportive of the player moment that he is now spinning it to be today. The Astros screwed this up and then doubled down on it with about as bad an apology as you can issue as a front office. For more on the outrage of the moment, we bring you now to Ray Ratto.
Assistant general managers don't get to do this, first of all. General managers really don't get to do this. And the fact that general managers don't do it should be a sign to assistant general managers everywhere that what you've done is do something that, frankly, embarrasses us. And no matter how you feel about it, and no matter how I feel about it, my boss is going to jump down my throat. So now I'm going to have to hang you out to dry and jump down your throat. Because the real thing here is that the Astros have been trying to make this go away for more than a season now. So bringing this back up.
Here's the thing. It had gone away. Today would have been about they're in the World Series. But they so stepped in the one topic you wouldn't want discussed today. It's unbelievable.
Well, but it's not unbelievable because what I think is inside the Astros front office, they truly believe, oh, what do you think about Osuna now? It read to me like Brandon Taubman, and frankly, his name should be mentioned because he's the guy who did it, and you don't get to hide behind, gee, we don't know who you are. Well, now we do know who you are. I think he was trying in a weird way to curry favor with his superiors by saying, look, I got our back on this guy. They don't need your back on this guy. Your job's to shut up and feel good about the fact that your team won. That's it. And then to aim it basically at three women, you know, brings it up all the more. If he had yelled this at three guys, I don't know that the outrage would be great because guys don't think immediately in those terms. Because they start doing stuff like, why is he yelling at us about a baseball guy who didn't pitch very well? When you aim what you're doing at three specific people, you're making a statement about something other than baseball, which makes it all the worse. And that's why I mentioned his name today. That's why I'm amazed he still has a job today.
That, to me, is the, like, the Astros have failed here. Because it's not just that he yelled it at women. It's that Ozuna wasn't good. It's a dead giveaway that you were just waiting for a moment to yell at some women who, I'm guessing, didn't love the Astros picking up a closer who was suspended 75 games for domestic violence, which could have been worse, by the way, if the woman he allegedly assaulted had not refused to testify and stayed in Mexico, where she ran from him, too.
The most terse condemnation of the signing came from Jeff Passan, came from a guy. Like, I don't know what these three women reporters then said about it, or if it's something that they have been all over all season long, but to try to couch the comments of, I'm just supporting my guy, it had nothing to do with who received the message, and then have an entire clubhouse full of journalists say, no, that's BS.
Because if that was the case, you'd have gone, woohoo, Altuve. Not way to go for the closer who blew the save. It doesn't make any sense.
And you
were making a point about, I don't want, we, the Astros, should not be told who we can and cannot go sign just because they might be terrible people. Why make that point? Nobody would have talked about Roberto Osuna's problems with the law at all during the World Series if you hadn't brought it up.
This is the only topic being discussed on every single pregame show, on every single run-up to every pitch of the World Series that is going to start tonight with a spectacular pitching matchup, and that is story B. That is under the fold.
And this guy should be fired. Like, I don't understand why you, what could he, how good is Brandon Taubman that this doesn't cost him his job?
He must be one hell of an assistant general manager. The only thing I can tell you is it's been a rough couple weeks for anyone who's got GM on their title in the city of Houston. Has it not?
I didn't even think of that.
If you are a GM in Houston, the only correct answer is no comment.
Yeah, don't tweet or talk.
But here's the other thing. It's that the people who catch the most grief about this are going to be the other players the day of the World Series?
Yeah.
Of game one?
Yeah.
I mean, as a practical matter, as a simply practical matter, no matter what you believe, no matter how retrograde your worldview may be, you've done no one a service.
That's right.
You haven't done women a service. You haven't done sports writers a service. You haven't done your employer a service. And you haven't done the players a service. All because you needed to be the fool for 5 seconds. There's your fame, pal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you've done a hell of a job. He literally could not have done more damage to the Astros if he put anthrax in the air conditioning.
The efficiency rate on negative impact, like per character of his yelling, is pretty impressive. Like, how negative an effect he managed to have in the space of 13 seconds or whatever it was is pretty remarkable.
Like his VORP, his value over a replacement comment.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable.
Value over replacement embarrassment. Like, it's hard to be that much of an embarrassment that quickly, but he did that. So credit to him.
It's like a idiot war.
Yeah.
What's your idiot war?
His idiot war is incredibly high.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, again, but idiot is still too kind a term because there's also a level of hatred of women in there.
Yeah.
I don't care how you dress that up. And that's more than just being an idiot. I mean, if he
misogyny
had yelled,
war?
Yeah, misogyny war is pretty good.
Yeah. If he had just yelled, man, Osuna did a hell of a job tonight.
We wouldn't be talking about it.
Factually incorrect.
Right.
Okay. And you look like an idiot anyway.
Right.
But being an idiot is still a better position than the one in which he stands today.
It's true.
As I was saying, it's really good to see the fact that we're going to have basketball back again.
True story. And also, let's not fall totally into the trap. This could be a heck of a baseball game tonight.
Yes. I mean, if you like prolific pitching matchups, like Scherzer versus Cole, that should interest you a little. By the way, if Washington wins tonight, they're going to win the World Series.
I agree with you, and I hope that happens.
If Washington beats Gerrit Cole tonight, they're going to win the World Series. If they lose, they're still going to have a chance, but they're probably not going to. But if they win tonight, if you are the team in game one in the biggest game of the year to halt the win day train that Gerrit Cole has been, that, I mean, all they got to do is split. However, if this is the game you take in the split, oh my gosh.
I feel like Ray's going to hate this, but if you buy into natitude at all, right? If momentum, if clubhouse mojo is part of your calculation at all, tonight, a Nats win tonight changes everything.
Look good, feel good, play good?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I do hate it, but I don't hate it enough. The thing that I hate most about it, not your comment, but the series, is that I love having no rooting interest. I love just watching the games. Now I have a rooting interest because now I have to root for Sean Doolittle over Roberto Osuna.
To be fair, you already should have been rooting for
Sean
Doolittle.
Well, I should have, but I would not have thought about it until Brandon Taubman made it a thing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shame on me for not thinking about it before.
Thanks for nothing, Brandon.
But, I mean, now it just, if it's a close game, I want Washington to have one more run, and I want Doolittle to close because he's a great guy.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. 49ers made a trade for Emmanuel Sanders today. It's a trade that is, look, it doesn't sound like the biggest trade in the world. Yesterday, Ray was even classifying it as if they did it, it wouldn't be enough. It is what they did. What does 52 yards per game average get you at wide receiver? Well, it gets you 11 more yards per game than the 49ers' leading wide receiver has. That's Deebo Samuel. We said there's nothing perfect about Emmanuel Sanders, but you know what you usually don't add in the lead up to week 7? A perfect player. Perfect players are drafted. Perfect players are signed in the offseason as the first free agent off the board. There is no perfect coming, so don't let pretty good pass you by. That was what Matt and I were saying yesterday. Emmanuel Sanders on the Niners, it has to breathe credibility into just the premise of, you know, this offense needs to be a lot better at some point later on in the year. And with him, it feels like they got a chance to do that. It takes attention away from guys who are drowning with the attention that they were receiving. I am talking about Dante Pettis. I'm talking about Marquise Goodwin. Deebo Samuel to a point. Kendrick Bourne to a point. Every single one of their jobs should get easier. What this does to George Kittle? Now that's really, really interesting. We all know how good Kittle is. As far as I'm concerned, Kittle, and we talked about yesterday a dispersal draft. Who might be the first drafted? I was in Nick Bosa's camp. Ray said, what about Kittle? And I even had to rethink the segment that I was hosting. Bosa and Kittle, to me, they're the pillars of this turnaround. These guys are already 10x returns on investment. Especially Kittle, who you had in the fifth. Kittle is essentially like putting $5 on a 15-team parlay, and that $5 has now become $400,000. That's what this is. That's how good he has been compared to where he was drafted. Bosa, he came with the premise of he'll be good attached to him, and sure enough, he is. To me, Bosa and Kittle, guys, these are the Splash Brothers of the Niners. This is Bumgarner and Posey. You turn it around on the two of them. They're the culture change. They're the infusion of the new youthful generation of the now. One of the prolific things, and there weren't a lot, that Gary Radnich used to say was that, you know, the Niners are in better shape when you stop seeing so many Montana jerseys at the game. He was right about that. Niners fans had memories more than they had real players to go out and get excited about. They got real players to go ahead and get excited about. And you'll always see your number 16 jerseys. They will have their place of honor forever. in any swath of Niner fans. But you got Kittle jerseys, you got Bosa jerseys popping up everywhere. The rebuild begins
with Buckners.
Them.
And yeah, so I would throw Buckner in that group as well. And if we count it as when they drafted Buckner, but really a couple years after when we knew he was legit, how far back do you have to go just to find one guy that when they brought him in, it was like, there it is, and then it was. I think it's Frank Gore, right? That's the last really, Patrick Willis maybe?
Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman are the two names that instantly
Bowman,
jumped
yeah.
to the top of my list.
So Bowman was probably the latest, the most recent acquisition of those guys, right?
Yeah.
I think Willis more than Bowman. And I'm not sure that Frank Gore was that because Frank Gore had to grow on you. Because
yeah,
there were too many
right.
question marks about
the
him.
Knees, yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah, his health.
So probably since Willis that you had a guy to get excited about. And I would say you got three right now because I really believe Buckner belongs in that conversation.
888-957-9570 to join our conversation. This is Dave in San Jose. Dave, you're on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, guys? I talked to you guys yesterday about this. I'm glad we made the pickup for Emmanuel Sanders. I know you guys were just talking about 52 yards a game, but we are talking about a 1,000-yard receiver at the same time, a guy who has produced over 1,000 yards. And the only guy close to that on our team is Marquise Goodwin, and he hasn't produced that much at all this season.
And for the record, last year,
say,
go ahead, Dave.
That,
go ahead.
The only thing I really have to say is we took the only weakness on our team, and we got a guy that can produce probably double what any of our guys are producing right now.
Well,
that's
funny. It's funny that you talk about that because here's what production is. Like we're talking about. Forget Emmanuel Sanders even has a name. Let's just call him 52 yards receiving per game.
And again, he basically missed two games. So it's 71 in the five games he played. And last season...
Hey, we're working with the math we got, not the math
enough.
We want.
But I'm saying he was out injured for the majority of the other two games. Last
number.
Season, 12 games, because then he had the Achilles injury that we've talked about. And in those 12 games, 71 catches for 868 yards. If you just extrapolate that to 16 games... That's over 1,100 yards and 95 catches. Like, that's a number one. It's not Julio Jones. It's not Odell Beckham Jr. It's not Antonio Brown when he's able to get on the field. But it's a number one receiver in the NFL. It's a top 15 or so wide receiver, probably, maybe top 20. And that's a lot better than what you had.
And
a lot
look,
better.
Again, forget his name. Forget what he is. Spent to get him 52 yards per game. That's 11 yards more than your leading wide receiver is giving you right now. It's about 1 yard shy of the production when you add the second and third leading wide receivers in terms of in-game production. Adding Marquise Goodwin to Kendrick Bourne gets you about 53 yards per game.
And if you're one of the people who says, hey, you know, it's really Garoppolo that's the problem, so
like
this
how,
doesn't
I
fix
like how
anything.
Mellow that guy got.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
It's Garoppolo can't do it anyway. Well, listen, I don't think it's a stretch to say Garoppolo can be as good as Joe Flacco. Like, even if you're down on Garoppolo, I think he can be as good as Joe Flacco or Case Keenum. That's who Emmanuel Sanders has been producing at this level with. And he's going to have a better offensive play caller now as well. So I think you can expect his production to be at least as good as Denver got from him, which, again, is a lot better than anyone you got. A lot better.
Garoppolo is that I hate him. I literally hate him because of the stupidity that his name evokes with so many people. It has nothing to do with him. He's been perfectly serviceable in every way. They've won every game. He has not been he's not been damaging in any way. If you have a problem with him, then there are 25 teams who are ready to do that deal right now with you. I mean, it's just stupid. They run the ball a lot because they're good at it. They also run the ball a lot because it allows the best part of their game, which is their defense, not to be overtly taxed. at the end of a game when defense really matters the most. This works fine. This is not about whether they got Emmanuel Sanders or not. That's fine. This is about Garoppolo. In fact, I hate the fact that he's called Jimmy G by adults.
I mean, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
I hate you. I just hate him because for some reason he creates brain bubbles in people who ought to know better and even people who shouldn't know better. You don't get it. He doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers because he's not on the team where Aaron Rodgers is required. Stop it.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Here's the other thing. I know you've said, Ray, you think they'll have to change some of what they do offensively. I think the appeal of an Emmanuel Sanders is you really don't, because he's a sort of utility belt wide receiver. You throw him in the slot, you throw him outside, run any different route you want. I think you can fit him into what you already do pretty easily. He's just a better version of guys you've already got.
You know what's going to make you sound really plugged in with NFL jingo? Say the words.
You mean lingo?
Lingo and jingo. Jargon? Jargon. Yeah, you jargon, and
you
I came up with jingo.
Two words that, frankly, nobody uses anymore.
Thank you. But here we go. Scheme dynamic. Boy, if you want to sound really good and deep involved in film sessions.
And undateable.
Yeah. Scheme dynamic. He is, though. He's scheme dynamic. There's an awful lot that you can plug him into. He can play the X. He can play the Z. He can play the Y. Scheme dynamic, kids. Look it up. Use it at work tomorrow. You sound like a smarter football fan.
And you'll be fired by your boss.
888-957-9570 is the number. Oh. We got a great, great hour of radio coming up for you today at 4:30. We've got Peter King joining us talking about the big trade that the Niners made. By the way, the New England Patriots made a trade today.
And so did the Seattle Seahawks.
What happened?
They have traded for Detroit Lions safety Quandre Diggs, Lions starting safety. All it took was a 2025th and a 2021 seventh. It's been a slot corner and safety and one of Detroit's most reliable defenders, but 26-year-old, now a Seattle Seahawk. It's a strange trade.
I didn't realize.
It was a Pro Bowl alternate last year.
Seattle had a need at safety? Was a need created from an injury that I just didn't hit my radar?
Bradley McDougal missed Sunday, but they got a lot of safeties. I don't know.
Well, he must be better than what they got.
Well,
if he's a Pro Bowl alternate,
they allowed.
That makes him at least the 15th best safety in the league because everybody makes the Pro Bowl.
They allowed a 50-yard completion to the Baltimore Ravens last week, so maybe that has something to do with it.
There you go. 50 yards, got to go. 888-957-9570. Look at all these people on hold. Fantastic. We want people. Look at this. We got some scheme dynamic callers coming up. We're going to be talking to Emmanuel Sanders. We're going to be talking about the big trade. We're going to be talking about the World Series. We're going to be talking about Klay Thompson. And we're going to be talking with you. And in case you miss anything we were talking about, you can go to radio.com and hit the rewind button. Right now, it's a new feature that allows you, the listener, to pause and rewind your favorite shows here on 95.7 The Game for up to 24 hours on the radio.com app, which you should have all downloaded by now. If you haven't, radio.com, easy to listen to 95.7 The Game anywhere you go. And now if you miss a segment, you can rewind. 888-957-9570 is a number. Much more coming up, including the Power Hour from 4:30 to 5:30. Peter King writing to Steve Kerr. You're not going to want to miss any of it. We ain't going to miss you as soon as we come on back. 888-957-9570. All of this courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Sorry, I just had to rebuild my headphones before we came back on the air. I had a loose earbud pop off there. Yeah, there you go. Turn your mic on. Turn your mic on, Matt. Turn your mic on, Ray. Everyone's mic is on. Here we go.
Professional radio segment by three professional broadcasters. Well, no,
two and me.
Two and a half, anyways. 888-957-9570 is the number. I told you we were going to come on back and take your calls. At 4:30, we got a monster hour coming up for you. Peter King joins us at 4:30. Steve Kerr is live at 5. Peter King's going to be joining us live, too. It just doesn't rhyme with 5, so I haven't told you that 4:30 doesn't rhyme with live. Peter King is joining us live at 4:30. Steve Kerr, live at 5. You are welcome in right now at 888-957-9570. Emmanuel Sanders traded today to the 49ers. They get a wide receiver that they need. Look, their receiving group was the least productive receiving group in the entire NFL. Doesn't mean they're bad guys. Doesn't mean they won't be good one day. But you need that day to be right now. And you just can't count on Dante Pettis, who is averaging 13.8 yards per game, to be the dude who's going to see you out of third and long when the nitty gets as gritty as it's going to be come November, December, when football's nasty. And there's a beautiful thing. The Niners are built for nasty football. It's not like they're dependent on a receiver to open their offense in a way that now it'll finally function. It's functioning fine. But eventually you're going to get asked to do more than you've been asked to do in any of these games. And look, you always got to be looking to improve. The New England Patriots last night smashed the New York Jets. And today they added a wide receiver. If they need a wide receiver, you need a wide receiver. And you got one today.
And I also think it's probably fair to look at the last, I guess, just 2 weeks without Kyle Juszczyk and say, look, that clearly affects the run game negatively. The yards per carry is way the heck down. Maybe that's about what it looks like with Juszczyk when we play a really good run defense. And quite frankly, they've needed some help at wide receiver to get their offense moving when their run is shut down. We've watched it in back-to-back weeks. And the degree to which they dominated Washington and the Rams is not displayed in those scores.
Well, and
in part, that's because the passing offense never got going in either game.
And you're going to see eight guys in the box, an awful lot.
Pretty much the rest of the way until you show you can also beat people throwing the ball.
Concur.
Solid analysis.
We've stated what is clear to everybody and has been for a while. The only quibble I had was who they got. And it could turn out to be a great get, could turn out to be nothing. They may not change in any material way at all. That's why we watch the games.
This is
and bet on them, by the way. I think that's more important to point out.
This is Marcus in Oakland. Marcus, you're on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, gentlemen? I called in yesterday. I'm going to try to be a little bit quieter today. I don't think Emmanuel Sanders was the answer. I think he's definitely going to be our best receiver, but he's doing exactly what our other receivers are doing. He's not going to open up the field for anyone else, and I think that's going to be kind of where this trade falls short.
What does that mean, Marcus?
I mean, if we had gotten AJ Green, he opens up the underneath for players like Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel to start taking in the smaller yardage plays.
You mean like Marquise Goodwin, the fastest guy in the league, might do?
Yeah, but he has hands of bricks. He dropped a 40-yard touchdown against the Rams, and then he dropped a slant against the Redskins the week after.
Here's the thing, Marcus, you're waiting for a player who's not necessarily on the block. I mean, A.J. Green isn't being offered up to anyone by Cincinnati, and this is about getting a deal done before the deadline expires.
And look,
a week from today,
AJ Green is, when healthy, on another level. There's nobody's debating that.
That's next year's first round draft pick, by the way.
Right, but first of all, yes. Second of all, even if he was available now, you're not getting him for a third and a pick swap like you did Emmanuel Sanders. That's going to cost you your first-round pick. And then he's a 31-year-old free agent who you just spent your first-round pick on. Look, A.J. Green is the best name that we've heard of all the names that have been on the market, because I have him over Keenan Allen. But you don't know if he's available, and he would certainly cost more if he was. So this is a pretty good alternative. That would be my position. And to say he's the same as the other receivers, like, guys, it's not the same. Just because he's the same size as Dante Pettis, he's not the same person. He's much, 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 much better at football. And that matters in this context.
Michael in Oakland. What do you got, Michael?
I agree. I would have rather liked A.J. Green, but there's two things that you're getting. You're getting, when you get Emmanuel Sanders, you're getting a professional. So, like, right now in the wide receiver room, you have a lot of people like blind leading the blind. So when you get Emmanuel Sanders, you may see an uptick in play from Marquise Goodwin or Deebo Samuel because they're watching a professional do what he do every day. And for the idiots that are calling in complaining about Jimmy Garoppolo, you guys are exactly that, straight idiots. We were trashed the last 4 or 5 years. You finally get a quarterback that's doing everything that needs to be done to win the game. All I care about is wins. I don't care about numbers. You know what I mean? So if we're winning, why would y'all complain about that and say we need a better quarterback? Idiots. Stop calling 95.7 again.
Thank you, Michael.
Hooray, we could take out the text line.
No, I really like this text. 650 texter says, I love this current 49ers squad. They remind me of the 2011 Niners team under Harbaugh. Solid running game, great defense. Of course, when I think of that 2011 team, I remember an NFC championship where Niner wide receivers had a total of one reception for 3 yards. It would be nice not to have that experience again should we be fortunate enough to make a playoff run. And that's the point. Eventually, you were going to run into a situation where you had to pass the ball more and your receivers are not good enough.
And one other thing, and then I'm sort of done. It's not like this. There were a bunch of other options. I mean, Luck and Forrest said there were 3 guys who were being talked about. 2 have been moved. A third is probably going to be moved. And the only way that this is a terrible idea in my mind is if Keenan Allen becomes available. A.J. Green is still coming off an injury, and there is no indication by any living human on this planet that Cincinnati is interested in trading him. So he's not, don't even bring him up. You may as well bring up, you know, Wes Welker. You say, why don't they just activate him?
By the way, that's not
happening.
Wes Welker and Emmanuel Sanders were teammates.
Correct.
So there's somebody on this staff who knows him pretty well. And
gotta believe they asked him about him before.
Nah, I don't think it's none of his business.
Also, I'll bring it up. Might bring it up.
You know, John Lynch was around those Denver teams a lot before he got the Niner job. So they know who they got, and I guarantee you they feel good about it today.
Adam Schefter reported that the Broncos wanted Sanders to play one more week with the team against the Colts to try to figure out if they're going to be a playoff team still. But the Niners were adamant about Sanders being on the roster this weekend as they take on the Panthers. So
I can do the Broncos a quick favor.
Hammer that out.
Yeah, just before we get into more analysis of the deal. You're not a playoff team.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You don't have to worry about this weekend or what happens this weekend. You're for sure not a playoff team. Regardless.
No, but I also think that they were waiting to see if there'd be other offers on him. And that might just be the smokescreen. I don't think it's a question of what they thought they could get back in the race.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a question of what they thought they could bilk out of Kyle Shanahan for
or making him do it on the earlier side.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know, New Orleans has more draft capital to use. Maybe they thought, you know, let's just put that story out. The problem is the 49ers, who were the people on the hook, I think would have been willing to walk away if the Broncos said, well, we're not ready yet. I don't think that's out of the question at all. And no, when I say walk away, I mean go look for somebody else.
Yeah, no, I think that Shanahan and Lynch probably put a little deadline on this and said, you got a decision to make or we'll move on. I mean, yesterday, they played this perfectly in public. Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan was asked about, oh, are you guys going to be out on the market shopping hard?
I mean, I think less than we've had in the last couple of years, because I do see that there are guys in our building that I do think the answers are here. It was tough not having Debo last week, you know, Keese being a little bit banged up. We'll get both of those two back. The guys we have, I still think, can continue to get better. And, you know, we're still holding out hopes, too, for Jalen and Trent Taylor that they can heal up and hopefully return later this year. So always looking to improve, though, like you said. But I do like the guys we have here.
And look, I agree. I like all those guys, too. I think you got interesting prospects everywhere I look. This isn't a year for prospects to be interesting. This is a year for wide receivers to now be productive.
Who's gone? Someone's got to go.
You mean one of the wide receivers?
Who's gone?
I would assume it's a wide receiver. Someone on the roster has got to
be off. Because they released somebody today.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. The name was not immediately familiar to me.
I can check a transaction log here somewhere.
It was a guy named Garoppolo?
Oh.
No.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
By the way, welcome to 4 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.